This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I've been sitting here just waiting for this moment so me and Denise can both share with you something very important we've learned about marriage.
And I'm so glad to be here and talk about how you can have a happy marriage.
Denise, you look so pretty.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you for being with me.
Thank you.
This week, Denise and I are celebrating our 44th wedding anniversary on Friday. 44 years. Denise.
Yes, Rick.
Hey, we're going to live a long time. We're going to make it to a very golden age.
Golden.
Amen. But we want you to order the whole series, which is called How to Have a Happy Marriage. And you have to have a happy marriage to be able to talk about this. And by the way, along the road of life, there's lots of bumps, but you can get past the bumps and you can walk in peace, walk in the Spirit, and you can have a happy marriage, and we have one. So we're sharing this week some things that we've learned, and we want you to get the series that comes with the study guide. And we want you to get Denise's book, which is called Who Stole Cinderella? The Art of Happily Ever After. It is just a wonderful, wonderful book. I've read it from cover to cover. And we want you to order the RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. And today we're going to be sharing just a little bit from this. But you can order all these things by going online or just give us a call. And by the way, we want to pray for you. So when you reach out to us, let us know how to pray for you. Call the number on the screen and please write that number down. Keep it nearby so that if you ever find yourself in a position where you wish somebody was available to pray with you, you know who to call. Call us, because we want to pray with you, and we will pray and pray and pray with you, and we will believe for God to do something wonderful in your life, and we really believe that He will. But today, we're going to talk about, are you ready? Shutting the door to strife.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you about a little story. When Denise and I were first married, very soon, we found ourselves traveling across the United States in a tiny car. Denise, was it tiny?
Tiny, little Isuzu.
It was a little Isuzu iMark.
iMark.
It was tiny, tiny. And we were starting our traveling teaching ministry. And we were traveling hours and hours and hours and hours and hours across the United States. The Lord had given me a vision when we started and told me to go on a Ring of Fire crusade.
Yeah.
I saw a ring of fire burning around the perimeter of the United States, and the Lord said to me, follow the fire, so that's what we did. So we drove up north through the central part of the United States to Minnesota, then we turned west, and we began to drive across Montana and Idaho and Washington State and Oregon and California, and then we came down into Arizona and New Mexico. We began making a circle around the United States. That's how our ministry began, and then we began coming inward to the center part of the States. But we were traveling with me and Denise. Paul was in the back seat.
He's two.
He was 2 years old, and Philip had just been born.
Yes.
He was on Denise's lap.
6 weeks old.
That's back in the days when it was not a law to have all your kids in a car seat. So Denise had Philip on her lap. Paul was in the back seat. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes it got a little tense in our car. And Paul never wanted to stay in the car seat. Denise, am I telling the truth?
Oh, that's the truth. We had to keep putting him back in that car seat over and over and over again.
I mean,
again.
It was so bad that I would pull the car over, get out, put Paul back in the car seat. By the time I was back in the driver's seat, Paul was already out of the car seat. He just refused to stay in the car seat. So here we are driving down the road. Philip is on Denise's lap. He is crying. Paul is in the back seat, refusing to be in the car seat. And we are so close to each other that Denise and I are nearly joined at the hip.
Oh, yeah. Those little tiny cars. And we had, I mean, the floorboard where my feet were was just covered with things. And our luggage was packed on top of the car.
It was strapped on. We looked like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I mean, the luggage was leaning here. We're driving down the road. We carried a tape duplicator in the trunk. I carried a typewriter in the trunk, plus all of our luggage. It was pretty tight.
And Rick, I got to say this, you were such a hero, because every time we stopped at the hotels, because we lived in hotels there for 2 months
These trips were typically 2 months long.
And Rick, every time we'd take down the luggage from the roof of the car, unstrap it, of course, and then put it right back up there, you were a hero.
And the ministry was just starting. We were young. We didn't have much money, so I'm believing God for the gas for every mile we traveled, and to pay for all the hotels, to do all the ministry. It was just all so huge. And it got a little tense in the car, because Paul was not in the car seat. Philip was crying, and it was just tense. And every once in a while, Denise and I, who really loved each other, it would get tense. And in the middle of that situation, sometimes it was like a spirit of strife would come between us. Well, Denise and I are not strifeful people. That's just not who we are. We are peace-loving people. We're not strifeful people. But when we would get into strife, Denise, what would happen?
The kids would get sick.
The kids would get sick. And finally, we woke up one day and we realized, you know what? Every time we get into strife, one of the kids gets sick. And we begin to understand that strife was a door for the enemy. Now, I'm going to give you a verse. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. And that word place in Greek is the word topos. It describes a real geographical location, just as real as any door or any window or any crack. And here we understood that when Denise and I would get in strife with each other, somehow it opened a door. It gave place to the devil, and the devil would begin to get in, and our kids would get sick. Our kids would get sick. And one day, we had a really bad event take place where Philip reached over and put his hand into a cup of piping hot coffee in a moment of strife, and it melted all the skin off of his hand. And we ended up having to go to the hospital every single day, everywhere we went. If we went to a new town, the first thing we had to do was find out where was the emergency room, because every day they had to cut off dead skin. They had to treat his hand day after day after day after day after day. And every time we went to have his hand treated, I was reminded that it took place during a moment of strife. And Denise and I just realized strife opens the door to the devil. And I want to read a verse to you. Are you ready for this? In James chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And the word evil here is the Greek word phallos. It describes foul things. And so Denise made, and I made, a decision, and here's what it was. That we were going to have a no strife policy. You say, well, have you really lived by that? Actually, we have. There have been very few moments in our 44 years of ministry that we've had strife. You say, well, how do you keep strife from entering your marriage or entering your home? It is a decision. Strife is an emotion. You know, I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to remember this statement. Emotions are expensive, and you have to decide how you're going to spend them. And if you spend your emotions on strife, it's going to open the door for some bad things. You can choose to reserve those emotions for something positive. Emotions are in your control, and the devil works through emotions that are not under control. That's how strife gets in. Now, you can control yourself and you can control strife. I know you can. Because when you and your spouse are in a big fit and you're fighting with each other and suddenly the phone rings, you change your behavior immediately. Hello. Well, hey, I'm doing great. How are you? You know, you're not doing great at all, but you're able to pull it under control because you choose to. You choose to. And Denise and I made a decision. that we're going to have a no-strife policy. And so when our kids were growing up, they didn't see strife in our home because we had a no-strife policy. Now, that does not mean that we didn't have the opportunity for strife. Of course, strife is a spirit, by the way. You can feel it when strife comes. It tempts you. It lures you. You have to say no to it. And my friends, if you make no room for it, then you won't get into strife. And so if Denise and I were tempted to get into strife, sometimes we would just say, hey, I need a few minutes by myself. You know what? I just need to be quiet for a few moments. We'd get alone by ourselves or take a walk or do something to get away, to calm ourselves down and pull ourselves under control, because we learned that when you get into strife, you open the door for bad things to take place, or like James 3:16 says, for every evil work. And this was so powerful in our life that we carried the policy into our ministry. Now, when you have a ministry that is large and you have a lot of employees, there's opportunity for people to have disagreements. There's nothing wrong with disagreements, but the way you deal with disagreements is very important. And strife is never helpful. Strife always opens the door for the devil. So even in our ministry and in our churches, we have a no-strife policy. And guess what, Denise? When you have a no-strife policy, people don't get into strife. It doesn't happen because you don't open the door for it. It requires people to pray. It requires people to grow up. It requires people to discuss things maturely, that we don't allow strife in our marriage. We don't allow it with our kids. Even we don't get into strife with our adult kids. And we don't allow it in the ministry, because strife opens a door for every evil work. Denise?
You know, Rick, I'm just looking at that scripture, verse 16, where it says envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And strife really comes from self-seeking, like how important you are and your rights and your boundaries, and I'm going to hold my line, and I'm going to show you that I'm right, and I'm going to show you that you're wrong. And so that opens the door for strife, but I just want you to see it. Who wants confusion or every evil thing? So you have to look at strife for what it is.
It brings destruction.
It absolutely brings destruction.
And you know, sometimes strife takes place when you get involved in a conversation and you begin just talking back and forth. And the Bible calls it railing for railing. So I want to refer to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and I'm referring to some of my work in the RIV of 1 Peter. Listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, now Peter has been addressing husbands and wives. He's continuing to address all relationships, including husbands and wives. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, listen to what he says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And when he says, not rendering evil for evil, listen to this. It means you absolutely must not try to get even, to get revenge, or to pay someone back for what he did to you or to someone else. Don't try to settle the score by repaying. That is a literal interpretation of this verse. Wow. And it says evil for evil. The word evil is a form of the Greek word kakos, which describes what is bad, evil, malicious, rotten attitudes and behaviors. Wow. And when it says for evil, the word for is the Greek word anti, means in exchange for. And if you put all this together, here's the RIV of this verse. Are you ready for this, Denise? This is the RIV of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You absolutely must not try to get even, to get revenge, or to pay someone back for what he did to you or to someone else. Think of the times in marriage that people, I mean, before they're supposed to be listening to the other person, but they're already thinking about how they're going to respond to what the person is saying. They're not really listening because they're thinking about how they're going to pay that statement back. And Peter says, you absolutely must not try to get even, to get revenge, or to pay someone back for what he did to you or to someone else. Don't try to settle the score by repaying someone's bad, evil, malicious, rotten attitudes and behaviors in exchange for bad, evil, malicious, rotten attitudes and behaviors. Or if someone has verbally abused, berated, damaged, debased, harassed, humiliated, insulted, or misused you or someone else, do not make it your business to pay them back with the same kind of verbal abuse. That is a literal interpretation. Now, Denise, if we stopped right there, that's enough for you to work on for a long time. But Peter goes on to say, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And the RIV translates it like this, but on the contrary, into the farthest opposite end of the spectrum. I love that. You must instead speak a verbal blessing in response to them. For it is for this very purpose that you have been prestigiously called, that you should be the recipients of blessing. And even in your marriage, God wants your marriage to be the recipient of a blessing. And so here's what Denise and I do if we're ever tempted to get into strife. I will intentionally just start saying, Denise, you're such a blessing to me. Or she'll say, well, here's what I have to say to that. I love you. We make a decision, contrariwise, to speak a blessing. And it doesn't say to think a blessing. It says to speak a blessing. Blessings have to be verbalized. So rather than pay each other back and say, well, I know how I'm going to answer that. Well, I'll tell you what, that's what you think, but wait until you're quiet. I'm going to tell you what I think about. Rather than pay each other back and just get into a dragged out, prolonged conversation that's not going to take you anywhere positive, just put on the brakes.
And remember that you're called to this. There's a calling to bless one another. That's on the inside of your spirit. Now, the inside of your spirit is a call, is a place for you. It's from that spirit of love that's on the inside of your heart that it says in Romans chapter 5 that when you got born again, it was shed abroad over your heart, the love of God. From that place, you have the power to look at your spouse, if they said something ugly, and say, I love you. You're such a blessing to me. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, 1, it says that a soft answer will turn away wrath. Well, what's a soft answer? A soft answer comes from a soft place, not a hard place, not a place that I'm going to get you back, but a place that I'm going to bless you.
And Ecclesiastes 3 says there is a time to speak, and there's a time not to speak. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. And sometimes when you're tempted to get into strife, it's okay to say, you know what? This is a time for us to be quiet. This is a time for us to refrain from embracing. We just need a little distance and calm down. Do whatever you have to do to maintain peace in your home, because when you open a door to the devil, he comes in. He really does. And in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about looking for victims to pounce on and to devour. And one of the entryways that that evil enemy finds entrance is through strife, And that's very often when accidents happen. That's when people get sick. That's when things begin to go haywire. If you look at it and really study it, very often bad things happen around an event of strife.
And you know, Rick, if you will go and get by yourself and seek God, He'll show you what's inside of you that causes you to be resentful, to be so self-seeking, because that's what James said. It says it comes from self-seeking. Well, why are we so self-seeking? Well, the root of that is fear. But God, He's given us that love, and from that love on the inside, we are, as we just read, we're called to bless one another.
And to inherit a blessing.
And to inherit a blessing.
And I want to tell you something else. When you're tempted to say something ugly and to get into strife, you need to remember who you're talking to. You're talking to the person that God called you to. You're talking to a person that's forgiven you of a lot of things, a person that has overlooked a lot of things. And maybe it's just a moment for you to give somebody grace. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next episode, the power of forgiveness in marriage. It's going to really be good, but Denise, we're out of time. But this has been good, and we hope it's been a help to you. But we'll be back in just a moment, and we're going to pray for you.
Does our family have very many family traditions?
Well, we do, but they're a little different than other people. For example, 4th of July, we lost that tradition because that's an American holiday and we live in Russia. They don't celebrate the 4th of July in Russia. In fact, the 4th of July is just a work day, so we kind of lost that one over the years. But we do celebrate Thanksgiving, even though that is not a Russian tradition. And in fact, when you guys all got married, we had to explain to your wives what Thanksgiving was because they had never heard of it. But we have retained Thanksgiving. We have retained Christmas, howbeit not the same day that the Western world celebrates. The Western world celebrates on December the 25th, but Russian Christmas is on January the 7th. We do celebrate Easter, but it's on a different calendar, so we celebrate usually 2 weeks later than Western Easter. But we do celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. Those are our primary family traditions.
Want a marriage filled with peace, purpose, and joy? In this new series, How to Have a Happy Marriage, Rick and Denise Renner share biblical wisdom and real-life lessons that have helped them strengthen their relationship with one another, overcome strife, and experience the joy of a God-centered marriage. In this 5-part series, you will learn how to find purpose in your marriage, how to eliminate strife and maintain peace, the power of forgiveness, how to let the Holy Spirit guide your tongue. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this series will equip you to strengthen your marriage on a solid biblical foundation. In addition to this teaching series, you can order Denise's book, Who Stole Cinderella?, and Rick's book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, How to Have a Happy Marriage, starting at just $11, and the books, Who Stole Cinderella? For $17, and The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, 25% off for a special introductory price of $28.50. Call the number on your screen or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I'm standing inside the partner care department of our ministry, and this is where the action takes place. Thousands of phone calls every day and every month come into this place from people reaching out to us. And this is my precious mother who is in heaven, and she established this part of the ministry. But these are the principles we are dedicated to feed the entire flock God has brought to this ministry, to strengthen those who are diseased in any area of their lives, to bring healing to those in need of any type of healing, to bind up those who are broken in any area of their lives, to bring back those that have been driven away, to reach the lost, and to take the gospel and the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth, to shepherd the flock that God has caused to hear the voice of this ministry, and to help them grow in their relationship with Christ and become powerful Bible-based believers equipped for these last days, and to thank and minister to partners whose sacrificial gifts have enabled this ministry to fulfill its call around the world. And we are very committed to these principles. And if you're a partner, you know we're very serious about that. But hey, right now we're trying to pay off this facility, and those who are part of the Ministry Expansion Project are helping us to do that. And if you're a part already, thank you. But if you're not part of that giving team yet, we need you. So would you please become a part of the Ministry Expansion giving team so we can pay off this facility and then keep taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, where people really are crying out for someone to bring them trusted teaching of the Bible. And that's us.
That's our call. And my friends, together we can do this. And I want to say thank you so much.
Well, this has really been a great program today. And Denise, you have something to say.
There's a couple, and you're listening, and you're even contemplating divorce. Right now, the Holy Spirit is so there upon both of you to recognize the union that you have together, the covenant you made together before God and with each other, and that your marriage is not just something to throw away. Your marriage is precious. And to reevaluate what you're thinking and come together and recognize the good things in one another.
Amen. Thank you, Denise. That was a word of knowledge for somebody, so take it and act on it. But hey, we're almost out of time. We want you to get the series called How to Have a Happy Marriage. It comes with a study guide. And we want you to get Denise's book called Who Stole Cinderella. And we want you to be sure to order the RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. But Denise, when we come back tomorrow, we're going to talk about the power of forgiveness in marriage. Mm. Because forgiveness plays a very big role in marriage. It's going to really be good. But Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that today you've allowed us to be together. And thank you that you've given us the power to say no to a spirit of strife.
Amen.
And I pray for every person and every couple listening right now that you would make a decision to have a no strife policy in your life. You just need to make that decision, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to make it, and He'll help you fulfill it, and He'll teach you how to speak about things maturely and not in a spirit of strife. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us. Don't miss tomorrow. It's going to be good. But until then, remember Ecclesiastes 8:4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.